This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. Visit FUBARradio.com for more details.
The Lucy Porter Show on FUBAR Radio.
Oh, that was a very good song, wasn't it?
It was all right, wasn't it?
I like their show. They're good, those people.
They are, aren't they?
There's always hundreds of them in the studio.
A cast of thousands.
And then we come in and it's all a little bit quieter. Hello, Amanda.
Hi, Lucy.
Hello. It's lovely to be. Do you know,
we missed you last week.
Well, and Viv, the lovely Viv Broscott.
She did a great job.
Bloody marvellous job. And the wonderful Jojo Smith, excellent as always. But yeah, it's really nice to be back. To be honest, today started off for me with root canal treatment.
Oh,
the dentist.
You didn't mention that.
That was hard work. So that was the start of the day.
Oh, good God.
And then went on to sustain a minor genital injury. Let's face it, we're going to have a genital
injury.
It's a very thorough checkup you get at my surgery. I may talk about my genital injury later on if I feel strong enough.
Maybe we'll tweet a picture.
We could actually. Yeah, it's probably this is what the listeners want.
Twitter.
But then the day it's got better. It's got gradually better since the teeth and genitals being assaulted. And this is going to be the apex of my day. I can feel it.
I hope it's not worse than a genital injury or root canal surgery. Otherwise, we might need to rethink
not for us.
What we're doing with you here.
But for us, it will be an absolute pleasure. We've got the lovely Rowan from Mumsnet coming to talk to us. And Margaret Caborn Smith, one of the finest human beings on the planet, is going to be here. So this is all delightful. And we'll be chatting about everything.
Yeah.
And we're going to now. Oh. I am excited. Genuinely, it's a surprise. Album of the week. I gave you some options. And I said, Amanda, choose from my list of about four albums that I thought could be album of the week. I'm guessing that you went for...
Go on. What did I choose?
Did you choose Pink?
I did not choose Pink, actually.
Okay, I'm surprised.
I did not. I decided to invoke some memories of my, I guess it would be, late teens, early 20s.
So for an album from about 5 years ago?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, thank you, Lucy. Yes, so yeah, Pink.
What is it? What have we gone for?
We've gone for a bit of Alanis Morissette.
Oh, yes. I did, actually, I should have known that you'd choose that. Jagged Little Pill, which was a phenomenal record. And I was sort of ambivalent at the time, but I think now, with the benefit of hindsight, we can see what Alanis did. It was sort of allowing moany, angry women like us
a voice. Who has a bit of a skewed... she doesn't really know what irony is as well, which is always the joke, isn't it?
She must be absolutely livid. She's like, look, I wrote a bloody song listing things that I thought were ironic, and now everyone wastes no opportunity to tell me that actually they're not strictly ironic things. Like rain on your wedding day?
Not ironic. 10,000 spoons were all you need as a knife? That's just...
Yeah, shit out of luck, Alanis. That's what it is. It's just being shit out of luck. It's a genital injury when you're already... ill in the tooth. Isn't it ironic that good. What shall we hear?
I have got queued up Hand in My Pocket.
Oh, I like that one too.
Shall we listen to
it? Let's go for it.
I'm broke but I'm happy. I'm poor but I'm kind. I'm short, but I'm healthy, yeah. I'm high, but I'm grounded. I'm sane, but I'm overwhelmed. I'm lost, but I'm hopeful, baby. And what it all comes down to is that everything's gonna be fine, fine, fine. 'Cause I've got one hand in my pocket and the other one is giving a high five. I'm green, but I'm wise. I'm hard, but I'm friendly, baby. I'm sad, but I'm laughing. I'm brave, but I'm chicken shit. I'm sick, but I'm pretty.
Well, she's got one hand in her pocket, soothing her genital
doing?
Injury.
What's she doing with that
she's
hand in her pocket?
She's probably like me. She nipped a labby.
Oh, dear. I tell you what, we'll let this story grow. I think you should give us a bit more information.
Yeah, nipped labia. Those are the key words. then we'll find out more as the day goes on. I thought we could talk tonight. We will talk later on with our guests about the gender pay gap. Did you know that it was Equal Pay Day yesterday, I believe, which marks the day after which women are working for free. So basically for the rest of the year, you and I, Amanda, we are working for free while our male counterparts continue to be paid. Although I have to say, actually, with FUBAR, the lovely thing is everybody's so poorly paid.
Everybody's treated exactly the same way.
Equally, I shouldn't say that. The bosses might be, they're never listening. It's fine. It's actually fine. It's kind of always interesting and slightly depressing around this time of year that you get all these statistics about how terrible it is to be a woman in the workplace. And this was one that caught my eye, which was, here we go. 44% of women work part-time, and 2 in 5 part-time jobs pay less than a living wage. 746,000 women say they are forced into involuntary part-time work, and 1.5 million women say they are underemployed.
Wow.
Yeah, it is kind of depressing, isn't it? And yeah. I kind of understand this now. Again, this is another article we'll be coming up later. Because women, you know, it is when you fall into caring roles, you have kids, you have older parents, and, you know, you find yourself adopting a caring role, and then part-time work is the only kind of work you can get. And it's only recently hit home to me just how hard it is. And I'm sorry to everyone else who's been struggling with this for years, because I was one of those people in my 20s and 30s. I don't see where the problem is. It's not absolutely fine. And then you go, oh, yeah, no shit, it's pretty terrible. That's going to be our depressing stuff about gender pay gaps and things. There will be some, we've got some nice stories, we've got some uplifting stuff. Stories of women in the military, this being the time that we remember. I've got some great examples of brilliant female warriors, soldiers, women who've been involved in war. So that's going to be quite uplifting. And then to depress us all again, the dating gap, why the odds are stacked against educated women, which this story seems to keep rearing its head time and time again about how women are being overeducated. And the question I think that we'll be debating tonight is, are we too picky?
Yeah, because that's often levelled at the modern woman, isn't it?
In fact, I think because it was one of the newspapers ran this story. There's a book called Datanomics, a new book on hookup culture, says that educated women are struggling to meet their match. And The Guardian have examined this in a way that's like, well, how can, you know, what can women do? How can we address this? And I think it was The Telegraph that said, women too picky.
It was The Telegraph, yes.
There were just two sides of
how
that.
How dare we want debate to have choices and make those choices?
Yeah, well, it is. The difficulty is this one woman has said it's not that we're saying that. Because there are sort of women, many more women going to university now, and so women are becoming highly educated and they want to marry men who are similarly educated and they find they can't. And it's not necessarily that you're saying that going out with someone who isn't as, you know, as academically qualified as you are is a bad thing. But just that it kind of is human nature that you pick from the people who are around you. I mean, I was very lucky in that I married a genius. The only proof of his genius is that he married me, obviously. Other than that, we're still waiting to see if he's a genius. And I'm very excited. We're going to have, in a minute, we're going to get Laura in, our lovely Laura, who is our outer office stalwart. And we're going to chat
to
her.
She does all the heavy lifting, basically, for the show.
She does. She's the unsung heroine. But we're going to sing her name in a minute. And then Rowan from Mumsnet is going to come in. And I'm really looking forward to that this week because I have been off Mumsnet. I haven't been my usual diligent self, checking it about every 5 minutes because I had a writing deadline and I decided I'm going to switch off the internet altogether.
Wow.
It's quite amazing. Tell you what's quite good is a complete news blackout. I've been pretty much
happy,
cheerful. and it was only today that I came in and I was going, oh, let's have a look through the papers. And I've absolutely brought myself right down.
And then the world comes crashing down again.
It is. It's horrific. But yeah.
Should we get Laura in to cheer us up?
Oh, do you know? This is the most downbeat start to a show I think we've ever had.
I blame Alanis.
To be honest, my story of gentle injury is going to be the cheerful high point of the show. Hello, Laura.
Hi, Laura.
Hello. Can you inject a little bit of youthful optimism into the room?
Maybe.
Tell us it's all going to be all right, Laura.
Everything's fine, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks, Laura. It's fine.
There you go.
Pop your mic. She's settled.
Any new tattoos this week, Laura?
No.
You've let me down there. I might get a tattoo. That'd be another one. Root canal, genital injury, tattoo.
What would you get?
Where would you get it?
I don't. Well, you know, we offered this the other week, didn't we? We said, listen, if you want to get a tattoo on us, and I was offering up to £50 worth of tattoo.
You were, weren't you?
Nobody's taken us up on it. Should we do it again tonight?
Yeah.
Okay. Right.
Maybe they just didn't hear. Yeah. So that must be what it is.
That must be what it is. If you want a tattoo, anything you like. I really liked David Beckham. Did you see he had? A little scribble that his daughter Harper
that's
had.
Cute.
Yeah,
I did. Yeah, that's nice.
That was like just if he could make himself a little bit more adorable. Oh, she as well, Victoria,
bit more
this week, she got a Glamour magazine award in America. And lovely pictures. I love Victoria Beckham, as I've often said. And there's lovely pictures of her smiling. And everyone was going, oh, she can smile.
I bet she can. They just choose to print the photos of her looking glum and. You know, and
I think she does pout. I don't think
that's true. She does.
What sort of is heartbreaking about it, I think, is she probably, as a young person, once was teased or she saw a photo that she didn't like of her smiling. And it does really affect you, doesn't it, when you have those sort of moments of going. Because I got very self-conscious about my teeth for a period in my probably late 20s. And because I'd seen a picture where I sort of had thrown my head back and laughed. And, you know, it wasn't the best picture in the world. And so I had a time of doing closed mouth smiling.
Yeah, I can't smile with my teeth showing.
Yeah, it's surprisingly kind of
because they're all,
thing,
like, different.
You've got lovely
white, pearly teeth.
They're all, like, some are up there, some are down there.
Well, you wouldn't know. No. This is it. You and Victoria Beckham, we need to do some sort of. Because I just eventually got over myself and decided, because I've got Kirsten Dunst teeth. In fact, it was Kirsten Dunst who probably helped me immeasurably.
Trying to think of what Kirsten Dunst teeth
look like. They look like mine.
Now.
Look at mine. They look like that.
The microphone's in the way.
There.
Well, they're lovely teeth. There's nothing wrong with your teeth.
I know. I'm completely with you now. But yeah, you could have asked me a few years ago. But I think it's also like women now, younger women, I've noticed often when they're doing the selfie face, which is the kind of duck pout.
Duck pout.
And obviously they think that looks better than smiling.
Mm.
It doesn't.
No, it doesn't. No. Especially when they have all like the lip fillers, like their lips are just their whole face.
Yeah.
It's a bit too much.
Do you know, I had that done once.
You did?
It was hilarious. Absolutely hilarious. And it really hurts. And they sort of, so they inject you right around the lips. absolute agony, and I looked luckily I could see the funny side. But I came home, and then they say, oh, look, put ice on it, and I thought, oh yeah, it's fine, it's just it's swollen, you know, because it's and then woke up the next day, still looked like a duck. And basically I went, so for it lasted, I would say the effects were noticeable for about 2 weeks, then it went duck 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 duck, nothing. So there was no, I thought it all calmed down eventually, but no, just don't have plastic surgery, girls, don't, or fillers or anything. Anyway, you live and learn, don't you? It's, I do these things so the listeners don't have to.
Yeah, quite.
Lovely, Laura, what record have you got for us today?
It's a band called Deep Valley.
Lovely.
And
oh, I love it. I've never heard of any of these, Laura.
Yeah, well, I stumbled across it on Spotify. Mm. And they're very good. They remind me of the Yeah Yeah Yeahs.
Yeah, well, we like
them.
Oh,
yeah, I like that.
But
yeah,
I found out that they're produced by someone from the Yeah Yeah Yeahs. Mm. Nick Sinner.
Okay. Huh? I only know Karen O.
Yeah, me too.
That explains
yeah,
why.
That's what she's doing. I'm interested
that's
in the AAS.
That's the end of my
AAS. Yeah, it's called Royal Jelly. And
oh, I love Royal Jelly.
Oh, here we go.
There
Lucy
you go.
Loves.
That is a beauty product I'm prepared to endorse.
Yeah, here we go. Yeah. Here it is.
Oh,
good, the young people's music, isn't it? It's very good, Laura. Well
very
done.
Good, Laura.
She's got a very good ear, that girl.
Yes, she is.
Lovely Rowan from Mum's Notes here. Hello, Rowan.
Hello.
How are you? You're a bit poorly as well.
I know, yeah. I was just saying, my best friend texted me this morning to say that she has pleurisy. And all day I've been thinking, well, I could have pleurisy.
You could totally have pleurisy. We could all
that
have
could
it.
Happen.
I don't even know what it is, but we could definitely. We were saying it sounds slightly Victorian, doesn't it? It's the kind of thing that a waif might be suffering from, pleurisy. I think I might have dropsy. It drops. I don't know what that is. Hip gout. I've got hip gout, terrible hip gout. Oh, I've got an appalling case of Grocer's itch. Itch. That's a real thing.
Is that how you damage your genitals?
That's what I might have subsequently after my genital injury. Now, I was saying, Rowan, I'm delighted because I have had no contact with the internet at all this week, and the thing I have missed most, if I'm honest, is my daily dose of Mum's Net. I'll be honest with you, I snuck on yesterday, couldn't resist any longer, and on Am I Being Unreasonable there was a very good discussion about memory foam mattresses which is a personal passion of mine, and there was much debate as to the pros and cons, I got very carried away. I nearly posted, I didn't in the end, because I thought if I get drawn in I'm going
to
waste,
won't be able to stop,
another couple of hours that I should be writing, but yeah, memory foam, yes, it's a big yes from me.
Is it? I've never tried.
Oh, it's like sleeping in a cloud. It's amazing. We got a memory foam mattress. My husband decided we're going to have a new mattress, and he went in and he ordered it, and he told me how much it cost, and I said, get back into that shop and tell them we are not having that mattress. It must be made of magic or solid gold because it was an unimaginable sum. And he said, look, just try it. You can do a trial period. And I slept on it and have never looked back. I dream of that. But like right now, I'm dreaming of
that's
that
where
bed.
You want to be.
Oh, I mean, I never want to get up, ever.
My reservations about that, so I've never had one, and what I imagine is you sleep on it and you wake up in the morning and there's like a body outline in the foam and
CSI.
It stays there forever. That's what it says to
well,
me.
Well,
no. That can't be true, can it?
But it's not true of a quality memory foam mattress, the kind of expensive one that we ended up buying. But I did have some memory foam pillows that I got from Argos. And they were very much, they were memory foam with the memory of an elephant. because the first night we slept on those pillows and then they were never the same again.
Yeah, so yeah, that's what puts me off.
I know. I worry. See, we've only had this mattress for a year and I expect to get 10 years out of a mattress because I'm skanky. Mm-hmm. And I do worry that it's going to start to sag. And my husband he's 6'5" and a corresponding weight, let's just say.
Yeah.
And I suspect that his is going to dent before mine does.
Oh yes, he'll be rolling down into his side.
Yeah.
Oh,
well, when we stay in hotels, I always end up kind of straddling him, whether I want to or not. And more often than not, I don't really. But it's sort of on a bouncy mattress. I do end up catapulted into his. He's like a planet with his own gravity. I kind of get sucked in during the night. Anyway, memory foam. There we go. We've covered that. We've done that. Right. So let's move on. Tell me the hot topics on Mum's Net this week.
Well, so we've got a selection of entirely sort of fatuous but threads here, but which are often the best kind.
They are. Anything that starts with the opening line, am I being unreasonable to think I have to quit my job, change my name and leave the country? I mean,
you've got to read it.
That's going to be good. Is that the one you want to start
with? So what this is, and this, see, I don't know if this is a phenomenon only on Mum's Net. Mm-hmm. There is a curiously large number of people who have face planted their boss's crotch. And this isn't even the first time we've had this sort of thread. This has happened before.
Yes.
So, because it's never happened to me, I would just like to say I have fondled my boss's chest inadvertently before now. But she's a woman, so that's fine.
Yes.
So in this thread, the OP was basically explaining. Shall I read the whole thing?
Please
this is
do.
Mini Driver. Today at work, I tripped up. These things happen. Unfortunately, I tripped right into a senior member of the medical team where I work. I grabbed out in a feeble attempt to right myself. I failed. I took him down with me. I landed on top of him with my head directly between his legs. I don't mean between his knees. I mean directly on his crotch. In a packed tea room, I want to die.
Oh,
I kind of peeled my face from his scrotum, allowing us both to get up. I was on all fours and he was just half sitting. sitting there looking at me as if I'd walked into his house and shat on his carpet.
God, it's a vivid image, isn't it? Yes. It's an absolutely crystal clear picture. Well done, Minnie Guyver. Your descriptive powers are immense. Oh, that is quite bad, isn't it? That is quite... You know, I don't know if it is quite quit your job, change your name and leave the country, but maybe one of the three, isn't it? At least.
There was a sort of a large number of people very unreassuringly saying, yes, I also work in a medical environment, and let me tell you, they will never let you forget this. So lots of solidarity there, people just saying, yeah.
I know, it's nice when you get those threads where people don't seek to be kind or reassure, they just wade in. And I mean, yeah, inadvertent sexual touching. Mm-hmm. I ended up sitting on someone's lap at work by accident.
Right.
Which is, but then it was, I say at work, it was at a Christmas do, and I kind of collapsed into a colleague's lap. But thinking back, it was we'd all had a drink. It was fine. It wasn't, not in the cold light of day in a canteen. That is pretty appalling, isn't it? I mean, there's nothing really to say there, is there? It's just like, God love you.
There were two more stories. Mm-hmm. So as I say, it's surprising how many people this has happened to. So Red Fox, it's sort of trying to demonstrate some solidarity, says, I was once sitting in my boss's swivel chair with my arms on the arms of the chair, my hands hanging over the edge in a relaxed fashion. Yeah. I swung the chair around and ended up cupping my boss's penis. The reason I was in his chair was because he'd been trying to put my stick into his computer, and so to cut the tension, I said, is it in yet? So you can see how that's gone wrong. And then Eliza Vita of Belsonia says, I once tripped over a box at work, and in trying to stop myself falling, I rugby tackled the director of the department and brought him to the floor. As I fell, I blurted out, oh my God, I'm pregnant, because I hadn't announced it at work yet. And the director bounced up, muttered congratulations, and ran away. So it just, it happens a lot. It's odd.
It is strange, isn't it? I mean, you know, Amanda, you anything?
I have accidentally touched somebody's penis who I was working with, and neither of us said anything. I was sat down, and it was awkward. He was standing next to me, and my hand, and I was gesticulating with my hands as I often do, and I just kind of brushed it. And, you know, we both knew exactly what happened. And, we didn't say anything because we had to work together quite a lot. So we thought it was best just not to gloss over that one.
That's what happened with me. So my woman boss, I was sitting down. She was leaning over me looking at something on my screen. And I reached up to rub what I thought was the small of her back. But she swiveled as I did it. And I ended up giving her a good rub in the chestal area.
Just polishing the chestal region.
Never been mentioned, not referred to.
Doing a thing recently, a gig. And I was wearing one of those headphone, Madonna-style microphones, which come with a battery pack that you have to attach to your clothing. And so I was backstage. It was all quite dark, and I had to clip it onto the back of my tights. I was wearing a frock, so there's a little clip in this battery pack. And so the poor guy who was doing the sound for the event, I was fiddling around, and it was all a bit. And he said, "Look, it's all right. I'll do it for you." And he sort of clipped onto the back of my tights, but then kind of missed and ended up fully cupping a buttock. One of my they're lovely ample buttocks, I have to say. I'm very proud of my buttocks. And that was that was awkward for a second. But it's easier when you're on the receiving end.
Absolutely.
Then you can.
I was mortified, and actually I'm going to admit to you now, it actually happened twice. Not with the same person, but in the same work, in the same place of work.
You're going to be on some sort of register.
Well, I did worry because the second time it happened, I thought, well, I've got to learn not to wave my arms around when there are men. I'm sitting and there's a guy standing next to me, unless it's something that we've prearranged.
Unless he's very short.
Unless it's something that we've done before, then I'm going to keep my hands firmly and possibly sit on my hands. So,
well, yeah. It's very, for me, being short, you see, and my husband is 6'5", I'm 4'11", and if I grab my husband round the waist, then I'm pretty much, you know, I mean, it's there, it's in, you know, so yeah, with taller men, an ever-present danger that I could coincide with. Anyway, shall we move on?
Yes,
move on.
Yeah, please. We could have a record, actually, and then, should we have a record? Should we have, let's have Rowan's record, actually. Mm.
So continuing the trip through my iPod.
Yes.
It was very cool last time.
It was cool. This isn't cool. Well, it is cool, but just because it's Blondie.
Oh,
and
yes.
And it's Heart of Glass. You can't go wrong, really, can you?
Oh, yes.
Here we go.
Amazing song, sing along to. Do you know what? This week, James Acaster, your good friend Amanda, and a wonderful comic, he tweeted, does anyone know when kids start to get songs stuck in their head, or do kids get earworms the same way that grown-ups do? My 3-year-old, we were playing Crocodile Rock, and for days after... he sang just the bit that goes, "And Susie wore her dresses tight." He just kept singing. Because, you know, you'd think the la, 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 la.
That's the hook, isn't it?
"And Susie wore her dresses tight," which, coming from a three-year-old, slightly disturbing. But anyway, yes, that song does it for me. Heart of Glass, so good. So good. It's just so good. She's so amazing.
Yeah.
Now, what are we on to next, Ray?
Right, so one that was good fun this week. What's the least inviting invite you've ever received? So somebody saying that they'd been invited to the team sports day at work. It was on a Saturday, but it was a three-line whip. You had to turn up. Children were invited too, but it turned out there was a large unprotected pond on the premises. So while the parents made a tit out of themselves with Kevin from accounts in the three-legged race, the kids tried to drown each other. It was fucking fabulous. So Fluffy Cloudland came back with, "My least inviting invite is Christmas dinner at my sister-in-law's. She doesn't like cooking or being a hostess, or either of us." you don't want to go, do you? Gamer Chick saying, "I went to a party last year and realised after about 10 minutes that every single person was on E." If you're not on E, then
presumably that wasn't in the invite. I mean,
bring your own E.
It's an ecstasy party.
There's an E buffet.
Just have one of
those. Tram 10 says, "The one where we were invited to a barbecue, and on the morning of the lunchtime barbecue, we got a message saying, 'Bring your own meat.'" Which is sort of just, you'd think somebody's just forgotten to go shopping.
I've been to lots of barbecues where they say, "Bring your own meat." I've just got very tight friends, I think. It is a bit, you sort of think, well,
a couple of chicken wings, couldn't
you? Doing a barbecue, I mean, it's largely about meat, or halloumi in my case, but as a vegetarian, you do often get people saying that thing of going, "I can't really be asked to cater for you with your weird ways." So I've had that a few times.
Because I was vegetarian for a very long time, and I had to bring my own food. But then if I was to host a barbecue at my house, we would buy some meat products. We wouldn't expect people just to bring their own meat.
No, it is an odd. I can see why that would be an uninviting invite, actually. Yes. Yeah, fair enough.
And then so it kind of slid off into a bit of a tangent, as they do, where they all started getting cross about, you know, those parties, you know, when you have the friend, your school mum friend, who has taken up a small business selling candles or aloe vera products is always a big one, isn't it? And you get those invites where they say, "Do you want to come for a drink around my house?" And you say, "I'd love to come for a drink around your house. It's just a few of us and there's going to be some products." And you think, oh, no, and I've said yes now.
I know. Well, I got invited to an Anne Summers party a few years ago. And it's a difficult one, isn't it? Because you sort of, I don't want to buy anything and I don't really want to spend an evening looking at vibrators. It's slightly niche, I think.
My mum used to actually sell Anne Summers.
Did she?
Yeah, when it was kind of like when it first kind of in the 80s, which I was overjoyed when my mum and her friend appeared in the local journal. My mum in a nurse's outfit and her friend in a French maid's outfit. Because they were selling incredibly well. They'd just done very, very well, and they'd regionally busted all the targets. They did incredibly well, so they thought it was just a laugh to dress up. And I was over the moon.
How old were you at this stage?
I was about seven. And also I was told, there's a suitcase upstairs under the bed, under our bed, and you're not to look in there. Oh. I'm going to the shops now. Oh. Are you? So obviously straight up had a look in
the
suitcase.
Chocolate penises.
I can't remember. There was definitely some sort of penisy things in there.
I mean, it's nice to support your friends in their business enterprises, but, you know, pyramid selling.
Slight element of coercion to it, isn't it?
It's difficult, isn't it? Or the thing for me that I have found on a number of occasions is where people will invite you round to their house to, like, watch the show they've done. Obviously, you know, the circles I move in, I'm in show business, if anyone's in the day. And it, because sometimes it's really nice, like, if you've worked on something, like on a TV show, and then a few of you who've worked on it kind of get together and watch it go out or whatever, or, you know, have a little screening for your friends and family. But it is weird. I have occasionally been invited around to, hey, come and see the new short film I remember this one, which was, come and see the new short film that we've made. Now, if your idea of a short film is about an hour and a half, to me, that's a film. That's a feature-length film. But it was the short film plus outtakes and rushes.
Oh, good God.
And it's because, you know, they obviously were very into it because they'd done it. But when you haven't been involved, it's slightly painful to sort of be there, and, you know, and the booze wasn't flowing freely. There was a sort of, you know, a glass of wine on arrival, and then an hour and a half later, we were allowed to resume drinking.
But talking to your actual friends.
Yeah, it's the sort of equivalent of, you know, when people used to invite you around to see their holiday slides or something.
Yeah.
It's that sort of... Mm. You know, which now Facebook, of all the things you can say about Facebook, at least it has destroyed.
Yes.
Come round and look at my holiday
snaps.
That's
very true.
But
yeah.
I mean, our Christmas Eve, when I first got together with my husband, my sister is vegan. And so on Christmas Eve at our house, we have a vegan Christmas Eve. And I remember the look on my husband's face when I said, oh, no, it'd be great because we'll go around to my mum and dad's, you know, Christmas Eve and we'll have vegan Christmas Eve. And you've never seen. I can see him scrolling through his mind going, how can I make an excuse for Christmas Eve? And the problem is, there's nothing else you can claim to be doing on Christmas Eve. It's, you know, it's that or nothing. So he was very good. He took it in very good part and in the end, and he's now got used to it. He's learned to love vegan Christmas Eve. I can see that not being the most.
I'm quite glad that I have stopped being invited to somebody I know on Facebook to their menstruation workshops, because I was always I was always busy. Sorry, I can't.
What does that involve?
I don't know. I didn't go. Oh. I never went to the menstruation. I thought, I think I've got menstruation down, actually. I'm pretty done with the old menstruation.
It's not top of the list, is it, really? That's amazing.
Well, somebody did recently, it was on Twitter, paint a portrait of Donald Trump in her own menstrual
amazing
blood.
Nice.
Yeah. Amazing.
Maybe it's that sort of thing.
Oh, well, yeah. Well, then speaking of menstruation, I believe shortly we may have a menstruation related phone call coming up.
In half an hour.
In half an hour, yeah. We're going to be talking to Gráinne Maguire. All will become clear in about half an hour. Dress codes. That's the thing on this least inviting invite you've ever received. Mm. Yeah, very specific dress codes for things. I think if you're going to invite someone to a thing, it's difficult. Again, you know, because you can understand why people go, oh, it'd be really fun if we all dress up and we do. But yes. Being too prescriptive about it, I think, is a bit off.
We were having a conversation in the office yesterday about, there's a kind of reverse to this, which is if you get invited somewhere that is usually very smart, but you turn up in a pair of jeans, like a nice pair of jeans, not ripped and dirty, but a pair of jeans and a jumper and a pair of high tops, is that some kind of reverse power play? Is that going to look as though you're deliberately trying to sort of subvert something and you're basically being an overgrown teenager?
Yeah. I mean, it's... there's making a statement, isn't there? Mm. I mean, I always used to overdress... And now I probably have been guilty of that, actually, without it meaning anything.
I tend that way, I think. Yeah.
I mean, I would. Yeah, I have turned up to things and thought, oh, actually, shit, I'm a little bit underdressed for this occasion, but I haven't meant to insult.
I'd rather be underdressed than overdressed, though.
Mm. Well, overdressed, you feel like
you
more
feel,
of
yeah.
it. But then
yes.
I used to be a bit of a dick, so it was it was my way of expressing, I'm a little bit special, and then I'm going to turn up. Also, I used to really like clothes, and so I would always, you know, any opportunity to dress up, I would do it, but... Yeah, you know, anyway.
I've sort of got to say that unless it's the Oscars, I can't imagine any circumstance in which I would wear, like, a really nice frock, you know, you would just feel like too much of an idiot, and you've always got to get on the tube at the end of the night.
Yeah, that's true.
I know. Well,
that's true.
I mean, I do a lot of corporate events now, and I have worn the same dress to every single one of those. It's got elasticated side panels. I mean, it looks
lovely,
but it accommodates. You know, if the dinner's good, I want to be able to enjoy it. I don't get out much, so and I have this sort of one dress that I always wear that is just about smart enough, but the shoes,
impossible.
Oh, no.
I got told off quite badly by a woman who booked me to appear at her 50th birthday party. Terrible mistake in all sorts of ways, as it turns out, and she told me off for wearing shoes that weren't smart enough, and I think she felt that it was an insult. I think she felt that, you know, I had snubbed her by
she sounds like a dick.
There's another story there, but we'll tell it another time.
Just before we move on, the real corker on this one that really made me laugh was somebody saying, when I was about 7, the girl who lived across the road from us knocked and asked if I wanted to go over and watch her eat her tea.
Oh, that's so cute.
That's just 7-year-olds for you.
Oh, well, my children, whenever we have people round, the greatest honour they can bestow on a house guest is to say, would you like to come and watch me do a poo? It's because we're only just out of toilet training. I should point out they are very young children. And it was always such an event for us that, you know, because you have to make a big fuss about, oh, you've done a poo in the toilet, well done. And so now they think this is like an amazing thing. And there is nothing more...
And do people tend to take up that offer, or they?
Well, people with children are sort of okay, or people who are used to young children are fine. But we have one very lovely bachelor friend who has never been around children, and I've never seen more awkwardness than when this was offered to, because it is an odd request. But you know, it's one of those things you sort of get used to when you live with it all the time. So, yeah.
I'd love to, darling.
Yes, oh, watching you do a poo. How lovely.
Shall we have a record and then we can bring
you're
in...
You're mad on records.
Well,
are,
it's quarter
you?
Two, God, so I'm being very strict on timing.
She loves a record. So, what, you got them?
Shall we have another one from Alanis?
Oh, yeah. It's our record of the week, right? Uh-huh. Alanis Morissette's Jagged Little Pill. So we've had One Hand in My Pocket, Scratching My Gentle Injury. What's the... what are we going for next?
We're going to go for the really angry one.
Oh.
You ought to know.
Oh, God, of course. Blimey.
I want you to know that I'm happy for you. I wish nothing but the best for you both. I know the version of me. Is she perverted like me? Would she go down on you in a theater? Does she speak eloquently? And would she have your baby?
Mess you left when you went away. It's not
It doesn't happen often.
No, they're not quick to anger, the Canadians, generally, are they? They've got lovely healthcare, great standard of living. But you wrong them, and all boys. It is, Amanda was saying during that she used to play that nearly every day.
Every day, and shout along to it about whoever wronged me, probably nobody really.
It would be
point.
A great way to respond in everyday life to any minor slight, wouldn't it?
You like it. It's a ringtone.
Just anyone, you know, person in the coffee shop gets your order wrong. Have a blast of Alanis. Take that, if you will. It's very good. Do you know what? Because I picked that, and I gave Amanda a selection of albums, and that was the one I thought, well, will it really have stood the test of time? I haven't listened to it for a while, but it was an album that I really liked. And I'm bloody delighted you picked that one, because it really has. It's
gone down very well in this room, actually.
Yeah. Oh, we're all furious now. Let's set up a good energy for the rest of the show. I was quite sort of lacklustre when I came in, but now I'm buoyed up. I'm furious. What should we get furious about next, Rose?
Maybe we should introduce Margaret as well.
Oh, God, another voice.
I know, I've just realised I've just started.
You've slipped in so easily.
Like I'm the, you know, a conscience. I know. I'm the voiceover.
It's because I'm just so used to your voice that I was like, oh, it's just her. She's just here. It's Margaret Caborn Smith.
Hello.
Hooray.
Hello.
Thank you for having me. It's very exciting to have you, mate. Oh. Margaret. Now, Margaret is an actor, a writer, a comedian, familiar face and voice.
Yes.
And we've known each other a bloody long time, haven't we?
Very, very long time.
Very long time. And we are family, you know, our families are intertwined. In fact, Margaret's husband, I think I can say this on air because no one's listening. Margaret's husband was round at our house last week. And Margaret's husband was part of a beer tasting event
that
Margaret was hosting.
The first, I believe it's called the first annual Pinner beer tasting.
Yes. My husband's got very heavily into home brewing and invited some like-minded friends, all of whom it turns out are men. He did say, I sort of said, is it, you know, have you extended this invitation to women? And he was like, yes, I have. But surprisingly, no one's turned up.
Yeah.
And they had, it was, you see, from little things like this, you realise this is why the Freemasons exist, and because men, they love to get together and have rituals.
Yep,
and
something
rules.
So appealing about it.
They all like to wear special hats.
Something to fiddle with. Something. That,
they can't just get together and have a chat.
No,
there's got to be.
And I think Dan was very happy with the lack of small talk. You know, it was all about the beer. I mean, they do get into bitching as well, but sort of going. There was very, very strict rules about listening to a song in silence while sipping your beer, and then rating. Eating beer and snack choice and music choice. The sort of thing that I think, I think that with me, within 10 minutes, I'd have been bored with that and trying to talk about something else, or, you know, be fun for a bit. But then I'm like, no, can we just chat now?
I know. Well, see, we have tried this because Justin is very much a stickler for rules.
Yes.
And so we've had like board game evenings, because I love playing board games and, you know, parlour games and what have you. But the problem is, I will, you know, just want to digress, just go off at a tangent for a bit and have a laugh and a chat. And Justin gets furious. We had me and Barunka, my friends Barunka and Sarah, and then sort of various husbands and boyfriends. And there was a very definite gender demarcation where the girls had started to get a bit giggly and giddy and go off and, you know, have a chat. And the boys were getting slightly, well, Justin in particular, was getting sort of gently furious.
What board game was it?
I think at this point it might have been Ex Libris.
Oh, okay.
Which is quite thinky. I mean,
it
you
is
know,
quite
it is
thinky.
A little bit of, there's effort required there. But it was hilarious though, the beer tasting. It absolutely
I said, did you let Lucy into the room? I mean, you know, she wasn't banned.
They would have let me into the room.
Yes, he said she didn't want to go in. I can imagine it wasn't that appealing.
I was sat in the other room trying to get some work done, stone cold sober and typing.
Oh, God.
And just heard sort of the occasional, they seemed to play
baying.
They played the Doobie Brothers What a Fool Believes several times in the course of the evening, and I kept hearing that and then shouting
writing, and I was like, you know, I'll be fine, I'll just get on with my work.
In fact, I got a text saying, I've just listened to the Doobies Brothers, and I thought, you're a little bit drunker than you think you are.
Yes.
A couple of extra plurals.
Ales and vibe. Ales and vibe. Now, right, let's go on. So, Rowan.
So, this is a slightly specialised one, but to move on to a higher plane. Somebody started a thread, and I've never read this book, about Noel Stretfield's Apple Bough.
I don't know.
And she was saying she was reflecting on this. Do you know?
Yes. Read it since it was.
And she was saying that the lead character, Sebastian, is incredibly entitled because there's some plot point which revolves around him basically demanding an almost pricelessly expensive violin from his impoverished violin teacher.
Yes, I do remember this dimly.
Yeah, so somebody's saying, you know, this seems to happen a lot in children's books, and what other examples can we think of? And the one that really made me shout with laughter was somebody saying, Amy motherfucking March.
Because she was never really punished either.
I don't mind
them being entitled as long as they're punished.
Yeah.
You know, Edmund in The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe,
yes.
Definitely a punished
yes,
for
yeah,
his
yeah,
behaviour.
Yeah.
But Amy got to marry
Laurie,
the nicest yes, guy, yes, you know.
Yeah.
Just being a brat.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, I watched Charlie and the Chocolate Factory again this week with my daughter. And, you know, obviously all the awful children get punished. But actually, Charlie, he's not all, you know, so he finds the money in the street. And you sort of think, well, no, you should take that straight back to your impoverished family, not go and buy. I mean, I suppose it's a measure of how excited he is about the chocolate bar.
Yeah.
But then also he does.
And also it would have been a very short book.
It would have been.
Kid finds money, takes it.
Parents can have a meal.
Yeah, that is fair. To be honest, sometimes the narrative requires a certain amount of entitlement. Enid Blyton, there's a few. You know, the famous five. Yeah, in fact, because George in The Famous Five, quite a bully. Not actually a very nice character at all.
Yeah.
I mean, not surprising because Enid Blyton wasn't that nice. So,
it's surprising that there's any nice
people. Somebody just say, I came on this thread to say Julian from Out of The Famous Five, the smug, sexist git.
Very true, very true. Yeah, Little Women comes in for quite a lot of stick, doesn't it?
Alice in Wonderland, which is quite a good point, because she is actually really vile,
Alice
in Wonderland.
Is she?
She's just overly chippy and confrontational.
Goldilocks was the other one, wasn't it? The ultimate
crime.
Because it's very difficult, you know, you sort of talk to your children about the stories.
Why these people are the heroes, and they're breaking and entering.
I mean, you know, bears, especially, maybe it's because we've now lost the sense of how actually frightening and scary bears are.
Right, yes.
Because actually, she's brave, really, breaking into a bear's house.
What reason does she have? Is she tired and hungry, or is it just sheer
entitlement? I mean, the bears have a house, which, you know, is...
going to be exciting.
The other one that was good fun is King Joffrey likes Jaffa Cakes. And I don't know whether this is serious or not, saying Garfield, he's a shit to John. He really mocks him and takes advantage of his insecurities and constantly orders him around. He's very aggressive, just takes it too far. And I thought, I don't actually know. I think that person might be genuinely angry about Garfield.
The only exposure I've had to Garfield is really the comic strips. I don't think I've... You know, there are movies and stuff now, aren't there? But I love the fact that Mumsnet users can get upset about Garfield. Well, I mean, the big thing that I've often observed on Mumsnet is how much Peppa Pig is hated.
Oh, yes, yeah. I think she came up on this thread.
I mean, and it is, for those of you who aren't familiar with Peppa Pig, I mean, she is a bit of a cow, isn't she? She's quite mean to her baby brother.
She's very mean to her dad, but they all are.
Yeah, now it is a
Daddy
real...
Pig,
real
yeah.
Constant sort of, you know, calling him fat and, you know, sort of talking about his tummy all the time, which really isn't to be advised.
The secret tears of Daddy Pig.
I think the general feeling on Mum's is that Daddy Pig should just leave the family and go and find himself a nicer...
He's a nice
pig.
I mean, you know, he's a catch. But then Mummy Pig is nice, actually. I've got no beef with Mummy Pig.
No.
It's the kids, really, which is, you know... So Mummy Pig.
What have you got against George? All he says is dinosaur.
It's the way he says it,
Yeah,
Mummy.
You're right,
He's mocking us all.
He thinks he needs dinosaurs.
Whereas Ben and Holly, we see Ben and Holly's an interesting one because she is a princess. And she does occasionally do sort of princessy things. The worst is Little Princess. I don't know if you've ever seen that.
No, it's Channel 5, Lucy. Why would I watch it?
You're not part of the Milkshake Gang. You are missing out.
No, it's the Milkshake Gang that put me off. They all seem like they're hungover.
Love them exactly for that reason. Because, you know, the CBeebies presenters, sorry for people who don't have children, but just honestly, you will listen and learn. CBeebies presenters, very wholesome, as one would expect. Milkshake presenters, just all their dancers. Let's face
right,
it,
yeah.
First and foremost, they are dancers.
Yeah.
And I suspect they lead the dancer's life.
It's all fags.
Fags, Diet Coke, amphetamines at the weekend. I'm not saying they do. But no, they're lovely.
They just give off
them.
That air.
I love the milkshake bot box. That's how I've learned all my dance moves.
Okay.
Yeah. Check it out. Even if you haven't got kids, you can look it up. Milkshake bot box, you can learn how to dance like a mermaid.
That's not probably very good, is it?
Yeah. Not much leg work. It's like the opposite of river dance. It's sea dance, which is all arms. It's all arms.
Okay.
I love that. Well, if anyone wants to tweet in with their suggestions of it, basically, entitled is the way that Mumsnet has chosen to characterise it, but I would say little shits. Little shits of children's literature and television are good. No, it's 7 o'clock.
It is.
It's 7 o'clock, which is...
It means it's time for another record and, unfortunately, to say goodbye to Rowan this week.
No.
You're dragging me out.
No. Really,
yeah, we've been trying to make her go for hours.
No. I might talk about one more Mumsnet thing after the break, even though Rowan's not here to, you know...
Are we allowed, Rowan?
Is that all right?
Okay.
We'll be very good. Thank you so much for coming, Rowan.
Thank you for having me. Absolute
pleasure as always. And which track are we going to have now, miss?
I've selected one myself. It's Let's Make Love and Listen to Death From Above from CSS.
Ooh. Let's make love and see that from above. Let's make love. weekend little dance to that. As Margaret said, keeping the DVT at bay there, it's always good to get yourself moving around, isn't it? But these stools, you know, I know the listeners won't be interested, but the most uncomfortable thing in the entire world. I'm getting buttercake on top of my genital injury. Anyway.
The whole area is out of bounds.
Basically, from the waist down, it's a disaster today. It really is. And my teeth as well. There's only the midsection that's of any use at all today.
It's something.
It's at least I've got that. Now, I was going to just wrap up the mum's net, even though Rowan had to go. I love Rowan, don't you? She's wonderful.
Come back any time.
So, this was something that caught my eye. What's the strangest complaint you've had from a customer? Toads just fell from the sky is the name of the Mum's Net user who posted this.
I thought that was the complaint. It's like, yeah, well, that's quite a bad complaint.
That would be bad. That's what was that? Magnolia, wasn't it? Where it was raining toads.
Oh, was it? I don't know.
Film Magnolia.
It's the Bible.
And also the Bible. More, I think they ripped off Magnolia. she says, luckily I don't work in retail or hospitality anymore, but I did for nearly 8 years and I had my fair share of strange complaints in that time. One that comes to mind is the customer who bought a tuna sandwich and then brought it back claiming she couldn't eat it as it tasted like fish. Another similar one was when another customer ordered a prawn sandwich and complained afterwards that it tasted a bit too seafoody for her.
God.
They're very similar, though, still, really, aren't they?
Yeah. Maybe people are.
Anyone had any other strange complaints, which is a good, you know, it's a good opening gambit.
Yeah.
Someone said, that the staff member who helped her had a tattoo.
Oh, God, these are quite depressing.
I know, I mean, yeah. This is a good one. Years ago, I worked at the tourist office in Edinburgh. One customer complained that the castle was too far from Prince's Street.
No, that is fair enough.
And another Scottish one, at St Andrew's, the monastery, a person complained that it's a ruin. Which is, I remember going to, on the Gower Peninsula, going with a group of people to see a ruin. Or it was a castle. It was, you know, it's listed as a castle, but it's a castle from, you know, like the 6th century. And one member of the group being very angry that the castle wasn't still intact and functioning.
With beds.
Exactly. With a princess doing out, combing her lovely pretty hair.
I heard my nephew, my 8-year-old nephew, playing with my daughter the other day, and he was saying, waiter, I ordered this chocolate and ice cream and I'm allergic to chocolate. Which I just love.
I'm outraged. Why did you allow me to do that? Mm-hmm. About 15 years ago, a customer was most irate when returning a Thomas the Tank Engine video. She felt it should have warnings on it and it wasn't age appropriate. Why? Thomas came off the tracks and she had to then explain to her grandson that trains can do that, and she felt it matured him before his time to learn of such horrors.
Oh my God. Because I doubt there was a horrific, you know, consequences.
No, it's very much on Thomas. They gloss over the huge tragedy that occurs when
crashes.
Trains.
Yeah.
It is have they not watched Bambi? Have they not watched all
this? Well, this
horrific...
is it, yeah. No, that's how you learn about these
it
terrible
is.
Things, isn't it?
Well,
the medium of cartoon.
Those sort of Disney cartoons of the 40s, which are all about, you know, parent death and the terrible... Because it's all the...
There's orphans in just practically every classic.
Yeah. But it's amazing how quickly your children learn to... they go, oh, yeah, because the mum and dad died. Like Frozen, the big Disney hit. There's a bit where the mum and dad die. And I tried to gloss over it with my daughter. I was like, oh, well, the mummy and daddy went off and they took a trip and then, you know, they didn't come back. And she was like, yeah, no, they died in the boat. It's very obvious because you see the boat in a storm and then they're not there.
Yeah, I had a really embarrassing experience. More embarrassing than the fact I actually went to a sing-along Frozen, which I did with my daughter.
We've all done it.
But she she was 5 at the time, maybe 4, and it was not her first time watching Frozen. And I think, you know, probably most people there knew it in order to sing along.
Oh yes.
But during that bit, you know, there's I think it's a subtitle, and the father says, "We'll be back in a couple of weeks." And my daughter very loudly said, "No, we won't." But yeah, they seem to take a delight in it. Not so bothered.
These are good people being idiots and bringing things back. Someone was having her hair done once, and a couple came in returning their teenage daughter's GHD straighteners, as they were faulty. GHD straighteners, very good. as they were faulty. They had caught fire while the aforementioned precious daughter had left them turned on, sitting on the carpet. But the salon gave them a replacement.
What?
No way. That's rewarding stupidity. That shouldn't happen, should it?
The least that should happen to her is no more hair straighteners.
A customer spilt nail varnish all over a brand new duvet cover and claimed it was our fault that the nail varnish wouldn't come off. Have you ever used nail varnish? I mean, you know. Someone was working in HMV and someone brought back all the DVDs that they'd bought because they had black bars at the top and bottom. And couldn't understand why.
Oh, I see. I thought you meant on the CD.
On the DVD case, no. Actually, on the.
The black bars, thought that they were covering up essential bits of their film. Yeah.
This is censorship. This is the worst. A woman complained that we didn't have much of a range of knickers. As it was Debenhams and the lingerie department, I was somewhat perplexed and asked her what she wanted specifically, as we had quite a few options. No, she was indeed right. We didn't stock crotchless knickers. And yes, I would pass it on to head office that there was a demand for them. But I'm pretty sure Debenhams still don't stock crotchless knickers, so it just goes to show they're not hot on responding to their customers. There was someone who ordered a...
There's the holiday ones that come out every year as well, that Thompson and things like that, you know, companies like that put out. And there was one this year where a woman complained because she said, well, you said that it was a fully equipped kitchen, but there was no egg cutter. And somebody else complained that when they went to a water park that they didn't realise they had to bring their own swimming costume and towels.
Wow.
I mean, you know.
I wonder if they were allowed on.
Yeah, vest and pants.
We took a holiday rental and there was no corkscrew in the kitchen and we were absolutely...
Oh, no, that's different.
That's come on.
Come on. And it was like, oh, God, this is actually quite a... You know.
What did you do? The knife, shoving down the cork with the knife. Yeah, we've all been there.
Yeah, it's never quite the same, is it?
No.
Someone going completely insane over the fact that our homemade chunky chips weren't thin and crispy. I mean, you know, there's just hundreds of these. The thing I like about this is just how many stories there are of people being utter dicks. We sold a baby t-shirt with a baby feeding bottle on the front. No reference to breast or formula feeding on it at all. We had a customer complain that we were marginalising breastfeeding women by having a bottle on it.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I know, it's tricky, isn't it?
Maybe cut some flaps into it, and so you'll have them both.
Yeah,
the bottle and...
poke your nips out if you need to. In fact, did you see, this would lead us seamlessly onto something that I was going to talk about.
If only
about,
you hadn't frankly. Said this will lead us seamlessly on.
I never paper over the cracks. I just let them...
It's almost time to speak to Gráinne, so we might have another record, if that's all right,
Let's
and then get Gráinne up.
And then we're going to do periods with Gráinne, and then breasts.
Fantastic.
It's the whole gamut.
Good Lord, we are really covering the lady bodies from A to B. Now, which record are we going to have?
Well, let's have another one from the album of the week. And you can pick, Lucy. You can have You Learn or Mary Jane.
Let's have Mary Jane.
Okay, here it is.
What's the matter, Mary Jane? What a holiday. A place the don't disturb sign on the door. You lost your place in mine again. What a pity. Never seen to want to dance anymore. It's a long way down on this road. The next chance.
God, I wouldn't have picked that one. I'd forgotten how depressing that is, really. But never mind. Let's cheer ourselves up by talking about periods and more besides to the gorgeous Gráinne Maguire. Gráinne, are you there?
Hello, ladies.
Hello, my darling.
You might want to put your headphones on.
Yeah, I just realised I haven't got my headphones on. Hello, my love.
Hi, Margaret.
Do you know, and Margaret Caborn Smith is here as well, Gráinne. Yes. And we are sending love, delight, and awe.
Fandom.
Fandom, yes. Yeah. We're fangirling all over your ass, or all over your womb right now. So, because you've gone bloody global since. I remember when you came in and we were chatting away and saying, oh, you're doing this funny thing where you have been tweeting the Taoiseach Endarkenny about your periods and oh my god, it's tell us about how it's been for you in the last week or so.
Well, it's been bananas. It's been very strange. I'm just a girl with a menstrual cycle and a dream.
And who would have known that dream would have, because you've been New York Times, you've been featured everywhere, haven't you?
It's New York Times, New York Post,
Mia Farrow.
I didn't know about this.
What? Yeah.
What did Mia Farrow do?
So she retweeted. They covered it in, I think it was Vice, online Vice website, and then Mia Farrow retweeted. And my sister texted me. She just was like, sending me lots of texts, like in capital letters, going, Mia Farrow just retweeted.
It's too exciting. Will you, let's scroll back for any of the listeners who are not aware. Tell us the genesis of this. Should we call it a campaign? I mean, it feels like it's a campaign, isn't it?
How it started was, being a woman from Ireland, I've always been sort of frustrated and angry with our medieval abortion laws. Mm-hmm. Currently in Ireland, you can only terminate a pregnancy if you can prove that your life is in danger. So even if, you know, the baby's got no chance of surviving, even if it's just your health that's in danger, you're still not allowed terminated pregnancy. And it's, as a comedian, it's kind of hard to find the lulls of that.
Yes.
Kind of, I've tried, but it's kind of hard to find the funny. And then just one, like, genuinely, I was just on the way into town one day, and I just thought, you know what? If Irish government is so bloody interested, if you pardon the pun, in my body, you know, I'm just going to live tweet the Taoiseach, Endacheny, my menstrual cycle. Because, you know, if he's going to be involved, you might as well know all the details.
You're really involved, yeah.
Yeah. And I think it was just, you know, I mean, and what I love about it is that anybody who complains that my periods are none of his business is kind of proving my point.
Yeah, and that, he hasn't responded personally as yet, has he?
Not yet.
I love the fact that he... Do you think he does read his own Twitter feed?
I mean, I'm sure if he's anything like my dad, he's probably not too sure what Twitter is.
Is he like your dad, Gráinne? How like your dad is he?
This is what it's all been about, girl.
Trying to get your dad's issues. Attention, I see.
But it must be, yes, it must just be incredible. That
someone's got to be telling him, though, what, you know.
Otherwise it's going to be really awkward. Imagine the meetings where he's like, anything going on I should know about? No, nothing. You need to be aware of at all, but and yeah, because like women from all over the world, you know, Irish women have joined in, and yeah. Do you know what I love about it as well is, you know, obviously as a political statement, it's making great impact, you know, but it's also really fascinating reading about other women's menstrual cycles.
Yes.
Because we're not really meant to talk about them.
No,
people always say, oh, all female comedians.
Well,
talk
this
about
is this
periods.
Is what I think is a weird myth, as we all know about mm-hmm. female comedians, because I've been hearing this since way before I was a comic. All female comedians talk about periods. Now, I have seen a lot of women doing comedy over the years, and I honestly don't think I've seen a routine about it.
No, and it turns out we've been really missing out, because it's fascinating and hilarious when people, you know, it's just the lovely level of detail of people going, I had a bit of light spotting yesterday.
Swollen boobs today. Absolutely.
Yes. I know, and I thought I was the only one who, you know, who had irregular and unsatisfactory periods, but it turns out it's very much a global problem.
The done thing. Yes, fashionable.
Exactly. I'm very in. I'm very hip. I'm very right now. So have you been sort of constantly on the phone fielding calls and media requests? Is it impacted on your life that heavily?
Well, it's a weird one, because what happened was, on Thursday, I got a few like interest from a few Irish online like newspapers, like news sites, and I thought, okay, like went out Thursday night. I don't know whether I should be saying this. Thursday night, thinking, oh yeah, that must be it. And I was out with my friends. It was a free drink reception. Mm. I had quite a few free drinks.
It'd be rude not to.
Woke up Friday morning, dying, like absolutely dying, with a missed call from the Today programme.
Wow.
Oh no.
God, and was your first thought, what did I do to John Humphreys last night?
And like, and it was crazy. And then sort of, then I wrote the thing for The Guardian, and it was very much lots of other, like, so there was interviews, like, I did an interview with a Danish newspaper, and like all around the world, but it was in Ireland, it has barely been covered.
Oh, interesting.
Like, RTE, I did one tiny short interview about it yesterday on an afternoon show, but it hasn't been on any of the news websites. It hasn't been on the news. It hasn't been on any of the political programs. And the thing is, it's not like, it's very tricky to say this without sounding like, oh, I'm such a glory hunter. Like, why aren't they? But it's the fact that it's like thousands of Irish women have done this, and the fact that it's not been reflected at all in the Irish media is really interesting.
And presumably you've been getting a lot of response from Ireland on Twitter and
social media. So we've had the thing is, like, other Irish women have been absolutely amazing about it. Like, absolutely amazing. They've like got so behind it, and they've expressed such solidarity, and they've been so so funny about it, and they've just loved it. Like they absolutely, like, it's just been incredible. Like, such support and such, yeah, just like a real sort of sense of like female solidarity. I've never been prouder to be Irish than I have over the past. It's just been so lovely, and they've completely got the joke and the point I was making, and you know, there's been much, much funnier tweets than mine. Like, everybody's just really been absolutely brilliant about it. And just like, and then women all over the world. Like, it's been amazing to have like women from like Italy and Canada and America and France and everywhere going, you know, we're with you, women of Ireland, and we didn't know this was going on.
Yeah, because I think that's one of the really interesting things, is that I was vaguely aware of this, you know, of this abortion thing, but actually I don't know about that many other countries and their laws and rules. Yeah. And so it's interesting that other people are learning about Ireland, and hopefully that will reflect.
Yeah,
because what is the Eighth Amendment?
So the Eighth Amendment is the law that says that the unborn fetus, child, whatever word you want to use to describe it, has equal right to life as the woman. So the woman, the adult woman, and the fetus are seen as equal under the law. Mm-hmm. So it sounds like such a simple thing, but its consequences are grotesque. Like, it meant that just before Christmas last year, there was a woman who had a fatal brain aneurysm. She was medically dead, but because she was pregnant, the doctors couldn't turn her life support machine off until I think they had to wait for like a high court judge to decide whether they were allowed to turn off her life support machine, because technically the life support machine was keeping the unborn child alive, and that child had to be considered as important as the woman who was medically dead. Mm-hmm. And like, it's just like stories, and it's like, you can't talk about that. And it's like a little thing, like even being embarrassed by talking about periods. If you can't talk about periods, then how can you talk about things like that in public?
Yeah, well, we were talking just before we spoke to you about Graham and Helen Linehan, and about they made a video about their medical termination, and have had horrific and despicable kind of abuse on social media. And I mean, have you had, what would you say has been the percentage of positive versus negative responses to your tweeting?
I would say I would have had about 95% positive, and then 5% crazy Americans.
Yeah, insane. But I mean, that 5%, they're really going for it. Yeah. We're really having a good time.
Unfortunately, they seem to have a lot of time on their hands.
Yeah, yeah, it's not surprising.
Oh, well, and I mean, I suppose what next is, do you know? Is there a...
because genuinely, it just started out as like this joke that I thought was hilarious. And all I thought was, like, I thought maybe one of my friends would give it a sympathy retweet and then that would be it. So I don't know. I mean, I'm aiming, you know, it was brilliant that I had a little bit of coverage on RT yesterday, and just, I don't know, I think I'm just going to keep doing it until
the menopause.
Funny.
That's the only answer.
That's great.
The menopause, then that provides many questions.
Absolutely.
Like maybe
yes, this could run and run. Ronnie's periods could run and run, quite frankly. Well, we're so delighted for you that your periods are going so well.
Proud.
It's very proud, and we'll never tire of hearing about your periods.
Yeah, you'll have people in the street stopping you, asking how it's going.
Well, they won't need to ask. That's the lovely thing.
Yeah, I want to sign tampons. That's what I'm aiming for.
You want what?
I want to be asked to sign people's tampons.
Yes, yes,
oh,
yes.
Yeah, amazing.
Well, Lisa, it would be nice if you became the face of some brand of sanitary protection of your choice. The Moon Cup. We're very heavily into the Moon Cup. We're bleeding very heavily into the Moon Cup on this show, so maybe they should get in touch. But well, thank you so much. I believe you're off to a gig tonight, my love, aren't you?
I am.
Where are you on?
Very glad. Well, it's in Smithfield.
That is not a place.
Smithfield. It's a market mashup. Smithfield or Spitalfields? Which one is it? Choose one.
I think it's Smithfield.
You really do need to know before you set off, though. That's my advice.
We'll have a lovely one. And if anyone's in the Smithfields or Spitalfields area,
whichever,
just choose one, go down, you might see Gwanya. Be lovely. And hopefully we'll see you very soon in the flesh, my darling.
Have a brilliant night.
Lots of
you too.
Bye-bye.
Oh, she's so lovely.
Yeah.
Yeah, my period's just started today. If Endicenny wants to, well, that was the root of my genital injury, actually.
Why? What happened? Go on then.
Okay, shall we? Is it now? Is the time?
I think we should have a track and then you can tell us why. What happens?
Let's let the listener know. If you want to make yourself a stiff drink,
you're throwing forwards. You're teasing.
Yeah. Okay. I'm teasing to my genitals. Mm. So we're gonna have a
not
track.
On that stool. You know.
They're numb now. I mean, yeah. I could do anything to them now. Slap them with a wet fish. It'll be fine. What track are we gonna have, Amanda?
We're gonna have Margaret's if she'd like to introduce it, please.
This is weirdly quite relevant.
We're so connected, isn't it? Yeah.
This is a track that I was obsessed with when I was, I'm giving away my age, but I don't care, sort of 16, 17 and in indie clubs, and it's called You Suck, and it's by Consolidated featuring the Yeasty Girls.
Yay!
It is.
You say you want these to be even and you want these to be fair, but you're afraid to get your teeth cut in my pubic hair. If you're lying there expecting me to suck your dick, you're gonna have to give me more than just a token lick. But you may not like it, but you better learn how, 'cause it's your turn now. Now you giving me that super cunnilingus kiss. It's on your face that I'm gonna sit. You can wiggle, you can jiggle your tongue on my clit. Don't worry about making me have an orgasm. Just take your time and do it with enthusiasm. I can tell it's making you scared just thinking of it, but you better learn to love it. Now you suck, suck it hard, go down, baby, you suck, lick it hard, and move your tongue around. When you hear safe sex, sneak it under your breath. We gotta take cover, we're flirting with death. AIDS is our problem, we've gotta talk. Break out your dental dam and your latex sock. I'm your latex bubble wrap like a gift. Got my microwave off the wrap, heating up my clit. Dinner's on, get busy with my booty. Got a couple of flavors, sweet, licorice, and fruity. I know you said, luscious pussy with a cover. I'm aching too, we can't taste each other. There's no slacking off with an unprotected stroke. This ain't no joke. Sisters! Sisters, you got the power. Use it! Now you suck. Suck it hard. Go down, baby. You suck. Lick it hard. And move your tongue around. I know you think it's real drag to suck my cup when I'm rag. Quit making
Radio.
Well, that's provoked. We've gone to a whole different place.
No, it was very good. I never, ever heard of Consolidated.
No.
Seems amazing.
They must have done other things.
They did. Oh, shall I tell you?
Go on, you tell me, please.
I'm going to wiki you up now. Consolidated was an American radical activist recording and performing group formed in 1988 and best known in the early 1990s. So, yes, we've dated you now.
Thank you. I'm profiled.
You are carbon dated.
I am done.
They were distinguished by left-leaning political activism and politically radical lyrics, as we've just heard. Or sexy as well.
Oh, it was so sexy.
Their music often focused upon the following topics: vegetarianism, women's rights, animal rights, fighting racism and homophobia, the unity of oppression, World War II and the Holocaust, the dangers of capitalism.
Fighting World War II? That seems ambitious.
Yeah, they're broad
it's certainly
everything
broad,
covered
yeah.
there. So their signature song, Consolidated, contained the mission statement: Consolidated is not even a consumer product yet. This is no rock and roll band. It is a unique creative vision of a small, isolated group of individuals, a team that's skilled and dedicated, searching for the knowledge that will enable them to improve the quality of their lives and the lives of those around them.
No wonder I couldn't find anything by them.
Imagine trying to make that scan with a...
Yeah.
How are you going to do that musically? Anyway. The thing I love about them, so there's loads of people that, yeah, we've never heard of before or since. 94, they split up. But when they did live performances, in each of their live performances, Consolidated included a period of time in which microphones were passed around among audience members who could then discuss, rebut, argue or elaborate upon the topics of Consolidated songs. That's a dangerous game to play.
Isn't it? That's why they don't exist.
That'd kill a bit of time. Just go, anything? Yes? No?
Just people going, thank you.
Isn't it funny? Because they sort of had to do that because it was before Twitter. In the internet.
Yeah, and, no discussion.
That was their way of getting audience feedback. Now, you can't bloody
stop it coming, can you?
You know, if you don't want it, you still get it.
So. Yeah, but it's anonymous audience feedback. It's not really the same.
Yeah, you don't actually have to stand up. That's very true, actually. Yeah, I would have quite liked that to.
Yeah, you'd hope it was
really.
I mean, I do ask people what they think in my gigs.
But what do you think? How do you think this is going? That's so needy.
I think it's going really well.
Do you not know by the fact that they're laughing or they're not? Isn't that the good thing about comedy?
A little bit more. Well, they're never laughing well, Brit, so we always have to distinguish whether they're having a good time in other ways, you know. It's fun.
It's good to know. Yeah.
It is. Now, do you remember ages ago I said we were going to talk about breasts and then other things intervened?
Yes, I do. And then you spilt your pims on the paper.
Oh, do you know, we've had a disaster in the studio. You people at home, you don't know. You don't know what's going on behind the scenes here. Breastfeeding in the Commons. I didn't realise. So, let mothers breastfeed in the Commons, say female MPs. Ooh, there goes the pims. We get through a lot more absorbent cloth in this show than any other, I would imagine. We spill a lot of things. We do. Women, as far as I'm aware, cannot breastfeed in the House of Commons. Doesn't that seem amazing?
Well, yeah, but I suppose it's such an old boysy, you know, there's probably all manner of arcane laws in there that we don't know about.
I mean, it's all people in wigs with weird bags hanging down their backs and all sort of, you know, black robes. That's not normal.
They probably don't know women exist, you know, in the rule book, you know.
Yes, but, you know, you would think, because it is such a sort of an easy thing to do, that women would have just started doing it.
Absolutely, yeah, that surprises me more.
But Philip said it might be. So it's Jess Phillips, who is, I like her because she's a troublemaker.
Yeah.
She's been getting into trouble
keen on them.
I love her. A bit of an upstart. She's the MP for Birmingham Yardley. And she can't say Yardley without thinking of the perfumes. Of
no, no.
But it's sort of part of a raft of things that she believes should be brought in to make Parliament more family friendly. MPs have studies suggest that almost half of female MPs have no children, in comparison to under a third of male MPs being childless. When councils make accommodation for new mums to bring their babies into their chambers, and the European Parliament allows babies to be breastfed by elected members during debates, isn't it time this place opened itself up to the 21st century rather than hiding behind Victorian values, she said. Just seems like an absolute no-brainer to me.
Yeah.
I'm just very shocked. So Tory MP.
So are people protesting about it? I mean,
well, do you know who's the backlash has started with? Simon Burns.
I love him already.
Tory MP for Chelmsford, Mr. Burns, as in The Simpsons. Tory MP for Chelmsford and a former minister said allowing breastfeeding in the Commons could invite ridicule from the tabloid press.
Boobies!
Yeah. He said he backed the former Speaker of the Commons, Betty Boothroyd, who said it would be allowed when workers at Tesco were allowed to do so. So obviously he's hiding behind a woman said it. But I don't see why workers at Tesco aren't really. Is it?
No.
Is it just me? Am I just being ridiculous to think?
Do workers at Tesco's actually bring their babies in then?
No. Well, of course they don't. Because you know, there's no.
And also, workers at Tesco, as far as I know, are just they have to work constantly. Yeah. I mean, you know,
they're busy.
If you don't scan X amount per second, then you get sacked. I mean, how could you manage to breastfeed while scanning? So it's very complicated.
Now let's look at the logistics.
Yes, exactly. Right, you get yours out.
What is the most ambitious thing you've ever done while breastfeeding? That's a good topic to have.
You see, I always had a plan to have to market baby grows with Sudokus on them so that I had something to do while breastfeeding.
Yes, rather than gazing at the face of your child, which is dull. Let's face
never
it.
Done
after
that.
A while, seen that? Bring it on, something else. No, I've done all kinds. Well, I had a sort of wrap thing, like a sling, so I could just stick the baby in there and then get on with my day.
Mm.
So yeah, I did a lot of things.
Yeah, I think I've opened doors to people definitely.
Oh,
when breastfeeding.
You know, I mean, cooking is hard because of proximity of baby to hot cooking.
Yes, material. Yeah, that's not.
But I've prepared a light cold supper. I've prepared a cold collation whilst involved in the act of breastfeeding. Just seems really strange to me that because yes, it is the kind of workplace, the House of Commons. You think, I mean, they sleep in there. We've all seen that.
Yeah, they drink 24 hours in there.
They've
as
got
well.
Subsidised baths.
Yeah, for all day, all
I mean,
night.
You shouldn't combine that with breastfeeding. That would be quite bad. I mean,
maybe not do it while you're actually speaking to the house. But apart from that, I don't see the.
Well, I've done. In fact, no, I haven't done a gig while. But I've done a gig while wearing a baby.
Yes,
but not actually while feeding. But I don't think it would have freaked anyone out. That I don't know. You see, the problem is, look at us. We're talking about periods. We're all very free and easy. I think maybe we're a little
preachers
more,
to not the converted in here, really, aren't we?
Yeah, we're not the Tory MP for wherever he was the Tory MP for.
Chelmsford.
I might
let's campaign for that.
I haven't thrown my hat into the ring yet. Let's see what happens next time.
Yeah, poor Simon Burns, worried about being ridiculed in the tabloid press because that never happens to Tory ministers. normally, it's for their own.
It's just the very least of your problems.
Yes. Do you want to talk about the dating gap?
What is it? I'm sure I would love to.
The dating gap. This, to me, feels like a bit of an old story, though, but I think it's been interesting. It has been revived because there's a new book. So a new book's come out called Datanomics, which is a book on hookup culture. Hookup culture. Mm-hmm. That's what we'll ask the young people in the outer office about.
They're both on their phone.
Oh, there we go. They're on Tinder right now.
They're on the apps.
They're trying to plug that dating gap. So he wanted to find this. Sorry, he. I don't know, who is he? It's the man who's written this book, and he is. I don't. You know, it appears sexist that I'm not crediting the man, but I actually can't see his name. Anyway, the man, the evil representative of the patriarchy, probably whatever his name is. Nice man has written a book about dating, and he wanted to. He says. It struck me. Oh, his name's something Berger. I've got that much. He started noticing that he was around far more single women than men. It struck me as odd because the women seemed to have a lot more going for them than some men he knew in relationships, which is my way of saying they were better looking and better company. This was also true of my own circle of friends outside my work. I knew a lot of single women, and my wife and I used to try to play matchmaker, but it got to a point where we didn't know any single men anymore. I wanted to figure out why. So his book set out to find out what was going on. At first he thought it was just a big city problem. Perhaps more educated women than men were drawn to New York, where he lives, or cities such as Los Angeles or London. But as it turned out, it was not a big city phenomenon at all. The numbers are pretty much the same across the United States. Across young people aged 30 and under, there are about 4 college grad women for every 3 college grad men. And it's mostly in most Western countries, Italy, the UK, Australia, things are the same. Yeah, so, but this, I do feel like I've heard this before, that there are, you know, women are looking to set up relationships with men who are there academic, who are equally academically qualified yep. with them, and there just aren't enough around. But I don't know what we're going to do about it.
No.
And John Burgess, his name. John
there we
Burgess.
Go, very
I
good.
I found it in the end, there we go.
And hasn't it always been the case anyway? I don't, you know, are they trying to say it's a new...
Well, I suppose
phenomenon.
Because...
women shouldn't be educated, this is the main...
Well, yeah, I mean, what is it that you ideally. Have to choose one or the other? Is it...
I also think that men, you know, you get to a certain point in your 30s and whatever, and men start to look for younger women mm-hmm. who aren't... damaged by their fellow.
Yes.
You know, I know that on dating sites, that the older a woman gets, this sort of it seems to be a big fall off, and all of the men in their age bracket are only looking for, you know, 20-something.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I suppose I know a lot of women. I mean, I think, again, we're just... Well, let's just confess. It's anecdotal, this.
Oh, sure.
We've got absolutely no scientific basis for
any
of this.
It's a radio show.
But
fine.
It's anecdotal. But I know a heck of a lot more women who are going out with younger men now.
Oh,
and
really?
Is that
oh, that's interesting.
Sort of skewing the... you know, so now younger women... I don't know. It's a... the Berger says... the increasing prevalence and efficiency of online dating has also had an effect because of the filtering tick box nature of it. Online dating is like buying a car, says Berger. We're used to checking off options we want on a new car, and so it is with online dating. There's so much box checking. Height, weight, race, dog person, cat person. I think what happens is people end up seeking a partner who is just like them, and the one box that educated people don't even think twice about checking is college education. They don't ever even see the dating profiles of people who don't have a degree, whereas when we meet potential partners in person, at work, in a cafe, on the train, their educational achievements aren't the first thing that are obvious. Very true, actually. I think that's it. I think we've cracked it. It's because it's yeah.
Oh, got it.
That's it. That's fine. Right. So what you do, right?
Yeah.
Girls, ladies.
Ladies.
But no, it is true that I have been surprised. Now, I have recently been discussing university, and it is like I haven't really talked to anyone about it for you know, it's not one of those things that comes up in conversation once you get past
yeah.
your 20s.
Yeah,
you
yeah,
know, you
absolutely.
Stop talking about your degree and stuff. But recently, I have been having a couple of conversations with people about, oh, where did you go to university? And I have been surprised that quite a lot of my friends didn't go to university, didn't mm-hmm. complete their degrees. And, it, you know, it means nothing.
Yeah.
And, you know, they are in no way my intellectual inferiors. in fact, it's very hard to find my intellectual inferior. but I do think, yeah, if you were online dating and someone said, oh, actually, I dropped out of my degree, you know, a lot of people might go, you know, a bit of a quitter, not really.
Do you think?
I don't know. I think maybe... I mean, because we started off the programme, we were saying the Daily Telegraph reported this as saying women should be less picky.
Right.
And I was disagreeing with that and saying, oh, typical Daily bloody Telegraph, go, oh, you know, anti-women. Actually, I've ended up agreeing with the Daily Telegraph.
But what, so you think that women are looking for college educated?
Yeah, I think we're placing too much emphasis
and men are not.
On...
is that the...
Who knows what men are looking for? I suspect I really don't want to know. I
no,
think it
exactly.
might damage my opinion. But yeah, I think that maybe there is a case for being... Well, I think actually everyone is being a bit too picky, and I think online dating does allow you, exactly as it says in the article, to create an unrealistic set of standards.
Yeah,
and
definitely. Definitely, because I remember when I got together with my now husband, and I came as an officer in Edinburgh, and I came back and saw all of my old school friends who I was... you know, kept in touch with still friends now, amazingly. But I said, oh, I've met someone, and I was, you know, he seemed more sort of possible than most of my previous.
This one's a keeper.
Yeah, I had friends. He said, all of your stories end with, and then he gave me this really weird look, and then he went home. What does that mean? so no, this was something
this
that was actually
no
happening. And they asked questions, and I said, yes, he's a whiskey drinking jazz fan who doesn't like football, and they all looked at me like I was an alien and were like, what the hell do you have in common? What do you talk about? And I was, and it was only then that I worked out, oh yes, on paper that doesn't that doesn't fit I mean, it was late 20s, so obviously things changed, but certainly those, your interests and whatever, you know, he didn't like indie gigs and whatever.
Oh, God, I mean, Justin and I would never, if there had been any kind of checklist.
Yeah, exactly.
Neither of us would ever have come up on, you know, our matches or anything.
Yeah. And actually, that's all nonsense. And a friend of mine recently said, yes, but you had important things in common. And I was like, yeah, that's fine. But we didn't know that immediately. Yeah. I mean, we immediately got on. But I didn't, you know, there was a lot of luck there about, you know, general, I don't know, politics or whatever.
You know, the nice thing is that I am now often pleasantly surprised when Justin and I don't have a row. You know, like, turns out we actually do get on. Things like parenting, because I have seen this happen.
Yeah, that's terrifying. Like, you know, no idea, really.
People kind of going, oh, God. And then we had kids, and I didn't realise that he always, you know, he insisted on, say, private education or circumcision, you know, things like that.
Wow, yeah.
I mean, it'd be odd if Justin insisted on circumcision, given that he's an Anglican, but, you know.
He might do.
It might, just fancy it. But, yes, and you just think, God, it is, you know, when you embark on the journey, you really have no idea whatsoever.
No, and that's right. But I suppose as you get older, it's you're less interested in the fun things, because you think there's no good having all of this fun if it turns out that circumcision's a deal breaker later on, you know, as so often happens.
And so I don't know where I plucked that one out there. But, yeah, it's... I do think that also matchmaking, this, you know, he was saying...
Setting your friends up. Yeah. Which I've always regretted, even the ones that have stayed together.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I can't bear it.
Yeah.
But it's about me. Why are you with each other all the time now?
You were my friend first.
Yeah.
I know. But generally, I think it doesn't work because, you know, I have tried and I don't do it anymore because, you know, people you think will be good together, often there is some intangible thing that's missing.
Yeah, or, you know, or they end up insulted and you know, you've got no idea why.
Well, I have a male friend who is, I feel, a little on the choosy side.
Yes.
And I, you know, and it's awful because what you don't want to say is, listen, love, you're knocking on. You might have to think about, you know, but it's not even lowering your standards. It's just, it is exactly what you say. It's like, it's rather than concentrating on all the fun sort of, the sort of superficial, it's superficial, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's your bloody superficialities, Margaret. That's what you need to get rid of. But yeah, and it is very difficult because, you know, I've tried to set him up with a couple of friends. And there's always been something like a bit wrong.
And in your opinion, is it like, oh, for God's sake, is it a sort of Chandler from Friends?
Her
head's too big. Yeah.
Yeah,
I don't
always
have much.
And then, of course, then the friend wants feed. But, you know, in one case it was fine because she just
didn't
tested
like him.
thought,
I
want to
know who this is now.
But the other one, she was quite keen. And she sort of, and then you become that person who has to kind of go, well, to be honest, he said you had a weird laugh. Which, you know.
Are you serious?
I didn't say that.
A weird laugh. But that's what it was.
But that is what it was.
Oh, man. He deserves to be single forever.
I know. And I was like, but I've got a weird laugh. Is that not?
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah, but I don't want to go out with you, so it's fine. I was like, but it's... anyway, it made me cross. We've only got 2 minutes left, Margaret.
Oh, boo.
Can't bear it. It's been a joy.
Oh, well, it's gone by so fast.
Do you know, I was feeling a bit woozy at the start. What with me? Oh, God, we never talked about my gentle injury.
Quickly.
We've got
60
just
seconds.
Under 2 minutes.
Oh,
come on. Just
do
fall
it.
Off air.
Hammer it through.
It's
is
really
that the
not
wrong
that
phrase?
Interesting. It was period started unexpectedly, and the only tampon option available was one of those, you know, those ones with like the plastic applicator that you put out that just are a bit fiddly. Anyway, so I nipped in. I was having a meeting, quite a high-powered meeting, let's be honest.
You didn't do it in the meeting.
That would have been certainly marginally less embarrassing. So I nipped into the toilet, which was right next to where we were having the meeting, and the applicator basically trapped my labia. And
oh my god!
And it was in such a way that I couldn't quite work out. You know, I was in so much pain, I couldn't quite work out what was causing it. And then I thought, I've just got to release the applicator, and I'll be fine.
You couldn't tell if it drew blood as well, because
exactly because it's all a bit of a mess at that point. Anyway,
god.
Yeah, and but yeah. And I was very acutely aware that I couldn't yelp because I'm within earshot of the meeting.
Yeah,
so,
they would be. It would have been intriguing for them. What's she doing in there?
Yes, you can't come out and say, I'm sorry, I just trapped my labia. I've just... So that was what it was, everybody. Wasn't it worth
sticking with the show. Wasn't it worth it?
3 hours.
Well, I think we all feel relieved. I think we've all done similar things, serrated edges of the cardboard ones, and
I take it out of the applicator before I put it in.
Yeah, I know.
Oh,
can't be doing with it. I've learned that lesson now. 42. It's taken me that long.
While.
Thank you so much, Mark.
No, it's a pleasure. I'm wives. Coming back every week.
Good.
Whatever.
Good. I won't even be here, but yeah, good.
Excellent.
And lovely Amanda, are we going to end with a record?
Yeah, we are. We're going to end with Alanis Morissette. You can have You Learn or Head Over Feet.
I'm going to leave it to my guest, Margaret Cabon-Smith, to decide.
Because I can remember it, I'm going for You Learn.
You Learn. Lovely. Thank you, Amanda. Thank you, Margaret. Thank you, Rowan.
Thank you.
Thank you, Laura.